and mahalo for listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And boy, we do love you. This is Kauai Soapbox with Marshall and Felicia. Oops, let me get you pumped up there.
Felicia, how are you?
Really good. And we have Kuhan Puck on here today, too. And so we're going to have a really interesting show. We'll start off with just a little bit of what's going on around locally, and then we're going to really put a super quality focus on militarization in the Pacific. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you so much for donating. We have gotten 97% of our way there for our $70,000 goal. So we just need, $2,150 left to be at $70,000. So
that's really exciting. That could happen on this show.
It could happen on this show.
That would be a lot, but people do get really stoked when we get near the end, and we can have those phones ringing off the hook. Fortunately, we've got a team standing by. So
yes.
Feel free to call. It's 826-7774.
Yes, 7774 when you're on a talk show, because 7771 is the call in to us. People can also go in to kkcr.org to where it says donate now, and especially if you want to do a sustaining membership, that's one of the easiest ways to make that work. So we really appreciate you, and once we hit our goal, then we will only be having, still yet, honoring our wave riders that have helped us get there. But so Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store and Betty Jean Nativio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products, including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Betty Jean Nativio, artist for hire, teaching both art and cooking, including the School of Chocolate Art for all ages and abilities. Multi-art mediums, including reverse glass painting, available for events, signage, custom gifts, and more. More information at BettyJeanNativio.com or 808-652-3781.
Kia ala nu'ukia a KKCR. O KKCR ka hui leki o kū o ko'a no Kauai. He hui leki o kaiaulu, e pai pai ia e ka lehu lehu a e ho'o lele ana me ka ho'o laha ole. Nā pahu hopu a KKCR. Helu e kahi. E ho'o ulu i ka hoe, e a o aku, a e ho'o hau oli ho'i i nā hoa ho'o lohe. Helu e lua. E mālama, e ho'o mau, a e ho'o lau le apu i nā mea a me kanohona Hawaii. Helu e kolu. Hoa ike i ka nani ākea i kō kāko kaiaulu a me ke kaiaulu kū waho. He kahua o KKCR no nā leo a me nā mele laha loa pū no me ka laha ole. O ke ke kahu foundation, ka mea e ho'o holo ai a mau papahana leki o.
That's right. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and that was our mission statement in Olelo. And that is to stimulate, educate, and entertain our audience, but while we're doing that, to preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture. We also want to reflect the diversity of local and world community and the underserved voices. So we work hard to do that, and we thank all of our donors and supporters who help us do exactly that.
They have so shown up for us in this fund drive. I'm just really grateful.
Yes, me too. And some of the things that are going on that I just want to be honoring, that, you know, we have all this beautiful music, and we have what I think are very locally relevant community affairs programs. Even just yesterday, I was listening, and I heard Makai Watch had a great show about fishing protocol, and I liked how it was clarified that it's not like hunting, it's more like farming, that to do traditional fishing, you just don't throw something in and catch what you can get. You know, there's a a whole way of culturing those fish right there, to farming the fish, to making sure that there's a lot of fish, mm-hmm. rather than just taking what's out there. And I listened to the Policies and Politics show that was on in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday, and they were talking about the general plan update.
And that's with Gary Hauser.
Gary Hauser is the new host of the formational host of that program, and I thought that he did a wonderful job. And they looked at, Carl Imperato was in, and George Costa spoke, but really with looking at the general plan update, and something that the emphasis was is how there's really a gross underestimation of the tourism numbers in there, and they placed it in a way where you understand why, how plans are made, and why it's important that your numbers that you start with, your foundation, are accurate. And so if what they're looking at is 20 years from now is actually less than what we already have, and when, you know, your impacts aren't an average, there are peaks and dips and valleys, and
can I break that down for a second? You're saying that the numbers that are projected for 20 years from now in terms of visitor arrivals actually are less than what we've already gotten to now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what was being said, and it seems
pretty
accurate.
And is that because a decline is foreseen, or simply because those forecasts were made before we even thought we were going to get where we did?
That the growth amount is low and that the starting point is low. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a key point, and I thought, wow, it was brought out well. And people can always go to kkcr.org, and then they go to the archives, and you can see where it says Radio Free America. Every show that we do, including this show, can be heard immediately after the show is finished for the next 2 weeks. Now, Kauai Soapbox, we long-term archive these on FeliciaCowden.com. So, the general plan update. I thought that show did a good job on speaking about that. And what that brings me to thinking about also is when numbers are under-evaluated. And Kuhan, who is in here, you live near Honoka'a, correct?
I do. I live on the rim of Waipio Valley. And thanks for having me on your wonderful show, Felicia. It's such an honor.
Thank you. And one of the things that brought our connection together was I've known you for a long time, because you're really from here, or we're from here. You're from there, too. But is what's happening with O'Okala. And tonight, because we have a number of listeners from Hawaii Island, this evening at 6 o'clock in O'Okala, do you know where they usually meet at?
Yeah, they're going to be the O'Okala Community
Center?
Association. We'll be meeting in a community space next door to the post office in O'Okala with state officials about this horrific industrial dairy with 2,000 head of cows that have been releasing a lot of toxic wastewater, fecal wastewater, without any sort of permit to do so, completely violating the Clean Water Act.
And I saw the Department of Health, they fined them. They gave them actually a pretty minimal fine. $25,000 sounds like a lot, but it could have been that much per day. They fined them for day, and it's a couple years of being in violation.
Well, yeah, the Department of Health saw these violations as early as 2014 and did nothing. And the thing that finally put a fire under their okole was the fact that Center for Food Safety, along with Charlie Tebbett, an attorney out of Oregon, filed a lawsuit against the dairy for violation of the Clean Water Act. And within days, the state decided that they weren't going to give carte blanche to this dairy to do anything it wanted, and it gave them this pretty minimal fine of $25,000. You could look at it that way. But on the other hand, for them to actually comply with the Clean Water Act, they're going to have to jump through a lot of very expensive hoops.
That's right. They're going to have to get a new comprehensive nutrient waste management plan, which they apparently hadn't had, at least not accurate. What brought me over to that one is thinking of having too small a numbers. Like I was reading how in that comprehensive waste management plan, they said they were going to be having 2.5
that they would
5 million gallons.
They needed 7 million gallon storage pond for all of the waste, and they decided it would be fine just to have 2.5 million. So as a result, it's constantly draining raw sewage. The equivalent of 50 to 100,000 humans is how much is produced. I mean, you know, there are laws that require us in Hawaii to have septic systems for raw waste water, and this stuff is just running perpetually down the cliff. And what finally triggered or motivated the state to, what they say motivated them to finally come down with this fine and acknowledge the seriousness of it, is that Bridget Hammerquist, a friend of Mahalo Pu, came over and arranged for photos to be taken from a helicopter. And what they found on the side of the Pali, you go along and then you get to O'okala, and then you can see literally brown streaks of manure stain going down the Pali from this wastewater, as well as turbid water that shows contaminated water up and down the very sacred Hamakua coast.
And with the bloom, you see the algae bloom coming right down from the waterfalls that was seen. And so a shout out to Carol Cox, who went up there with Lani Kila Manguel.
Yes.
You know, famous for Mauna Kea protection. They went and they took the pictures, and the Department of Health did acknowledge that those pictures were so compelling that that was, in fact,
it's
undeniable.
Right.
And so they have to also get what's called a permit for a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. People will say NPDES, but I always need to really look at what does those letters mean. So that's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. So those are big hurdles for them to cross and solve. So my understanding was that the Department of Health isn't trying to shut them down. It was trying to make them compliant. That's why they had the lower fine value.
Right. The state has a lot invested in this dairy. It believes that it's going to help it achieve its 2020 goal of achieving some benchmark of sustainability, without understanding that when you kill the marine life on the coast, as well as in the waterways and gulches, you are not making yourself sustainable. Well, anyway.
Yeah, and then there's another piece there. Marshall and I have been following the rat lungworm challenge, and so it is being seen that they have a disproportionately high number of these semi-slugs in that area if they've been looking. And, you know, one of the things they go after with the rats is the manure from the rats. And so it's being suspected that perhaps the cow manure, the fecal material, is also compelling.
Well, only because the semi-slugs love to eat algae, and a lot of algae bloom has resulted from the fecal runoff. And so they suspect there would be a correlation between the explosion in the population and the dairy.
So we've had Charlie Tebbett, who is the lawyer for Friends of Mahalo Pu, who is now also going to be representing the O'okala dairy. He's been on the show.
Oh, he'll be representing the O'okala community.
The O'okala community, excuse me. Thank you for that.
Sure.
And then also the Center for Food Safety is going to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
And that community, correct me if I'm wrong, is a longer-term, more generational community. Is that correct? Is it?
Yes. In fact,
the local word for
after having been on the Big Island for 5 years on the Hamakua coast, I being back here on Kauai, I really can see the difference between the community here, which most people that we see here, especially on the North Shore, came here in their lifetime, whereas there, I mean,
grown there, not flown there.
Yes, and even people who go back centuries in the Waipio Valley. I have many, many friends who go back centuries, and then the newcomers are the people that have been there since their great-grandparents. So someone like me who just came there, I'm kind of an outsider, but that's okay.
But in this case, the partnering of the two islands has been very helpful.
And Oahu. And it's just been a really great show of inter-island solidarity that we need to continue, and I think KKCR has been a big part of that, which is why I think it's so important to continue to support your show.
Thank you.
And Carol Cox's show.
Carol Cox's show, and yeah. I saw that Bridget and Eileen were on Think Tank today, and that they did a really great discussion on that, and that will be up on, you know, YouTube or whatever way it goes out, and, you know, it'll be, we can put that on my Facebook page. So we've had some good stuff going on with that. So other things that are happening tonight, I'm going Celebration of Life for John Lydgate, another amazing individual, and, you know, a lot of gratitude that he's had a very blessed life with all kinds of beautiful ways to contribute. He's definitely a contributor. I think he has 4 or 5 sons. I've had his youngest son on this show before, too. So that is going to be at Lydgate Park. Probably all kinds of good music and, you know, wonderful celebration. So that is this evening. Tomorrow night, I'm a little torn of what I'm going to do. The county budget planning, the public hearing, is going to be happening in the county building tomorrow evening.
Public hearing on the county budget.
On the county budget. So that happens in the council chambers.
So how do they do it? They read it? Or?
Well, they expect that you're going to be looking at it, and people come in, and they can say, I have trouble with this, or I have trouble with that. Or they've been working on it for, you know, a couple weeks. And it's very detailed, and it's a lot of work, and it's really, it's important. And where money is spent is where action happens or doesn't happen. So money and where and how money is spent. Tomorrow night also, the Hawaii Farmers Union United from 6 to 8 in Anahola, they are having their monthly meeting. And the Hawaii Republican State Convention, that is going to be this weekend on Kauai. They'll be hosting the state convention at the Aqua Kauai Beach Resort this Friday and Saturday, May 12th and 13th. So over 375 delegates from Kauai, Oahu, Maui, and the Big Island of Hawaii will be gathering at this year's conventions to conduct regular business in electing a new state chair and officers. So it's a sold-out event, and I want to thank Steve Yoder, the chair of the Republican Party for Kauai, for supporting KKCR on Democracy Now! So that's good.
Hey, Felicia, I just want to mention about that Kauai Farmers Union meeting tonight. It sounds really great. If anybody's
tomorrow
got,
night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. If anybody has questions about soil, soil test, insects, diseased plants, all that sort of thing, Dr. Catherine Fiedler of the CTAR Ag Extension here on Kauai is going to be there. She's a plant pathologist and will discuss plant and soil-based diseases and pests.
Okay, she did that last month too, yes? So
yeah, and it was great.
So maybe going deeper. So that's good. Great, and she was good. And so I also got something from Maisie Hirano. And this, you know, press release, her being concerned about, basically she says, Mr. President, what do you have to hide? And, you know, her main quote is, the president's decision to fire Director James Comey in this manner under this pretext and at this time is a total disservice to the American people. She's speaking in terms of this investigation of Russian interference with the 2016 presidential election. I don't know enough about it. I'm just so used to the quick turnover in the team there. It's kind of like our reality show of you're fired, right? So I need to get more serious about it. I watch all this stuff, and I just have to have detached engagement. I watch, but...
You're talking about national issues of, like, national security compromised being by the Russians, that sort of issue that seems all sort of ephemeral, you know, as of our democracy kind of being slipped away from under us. It's hard to grasp.
Well, I think that you know, we get involved in everybody's elections around the world wherever we can. I think that's pretty standard, right? I think probably all these countries, if they can influence stuff.
But Felicia, the concern is that the sitting president colluded with the Russian government to disrupt our election.
Well, that's definitely the accusation, and I think that the inference here is when he is removing the FBI director while he's under pressure for this, that's lacks integrity. That's the inference.
You know, it lacked integrity. James Comey coming out just before the election and pointing out an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails and not mentioning that at that moment there was an FBI investigation into collusion or possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Do you feel strongly about this, Marshall?
How can you tell?
No, I'm sorry to laugh. I know that that's the story, and...
And the Obama administration knew that and refrained from saying a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is another one of my announcements. Do you have any other announcements?
How about something on tree pruning?
I'm going to get to the military. Okay, tree pruning, and then we're going to talk about our wave riders. Then we're going to talk about Kauai. But
yeah, tell me closer to home.
Tell me the tree pruning.
Regeneration's Botanical Garden is holding a tree pruning workshop in the Kauai Food Forest. It's on May 21st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can find more information and tickets at ribg.org, or you can look on the Facebook listing on Kauai Food Forest Group. And you can also take a look at the KKCR Facebook page. I'll post it there momentarily.
Okay, and thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Call 826-7774 or www.kkcr.org for hit donate. But let's hear from those who have helped us already. Wave Riders, we love you.
Hawaiki Oceanic and Tribal Art Gallery, located in Hanalei Center. Artwork from the island nations of the Pacific. Ni'ihau Jewelry, Hawaiian Tikis, and more. HawaiikiArt.com, 808-826-7606.
The Kauai Lifeguard Association would like to salute Kauai's lifeguards and firemen for their dedication to the safety of all our beach users. Not one of the 15 drowning deaths on Kauai in 2016 were at a lifeguarded beach.
Puahina, original Hawaiian island clothing store, located in the heart of Hanapepe Town, featuring new men's designs. Puahina at Hanapepe on Facebook.
Soulmates, your Kama'aina footwear store at the cutting edge of Old Kapaa Town. 808-822-2180. Soulmates808.com.
Saturday, May 20th, is Edible Hawaiian Island's fourth annual statewide Farm Day, spreading and sharing farm fresh love across Hawaii. EdibleHI.com.
The Hanalei Watershed Hui can help you replace your Hanalei cesspool. Let's clean up our river, bay, and reefs. 826-1985 or HanaleiWatershedHui@gmail.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Bill Fernandez congratulates KKCR for its excellent programming. Hawaiian music, coffee, and the newspaper. A great start to each day.
Aegis, fee-only institutional investment and financial planning brought to individual investors. Located in Princeville, 808-346-1331. AegisCapital.com.
North Shore Cab, proudly serving the Garden Island with aloha for 32 years. Clean, reliable, and on time. 808-826-4118.
New items at Kmart Home Center. Home of Kenmore, Craftsman, and Die Hard. Mahalo for your kokua.
Community Futures Collective supports KKCR FM Kauai, the station that brings Kauai residents news that matters.
Charlie Brown thanks the KKCR audience for considering that the second law of thermodynamics can be overcome.
The Kauai Lifeguard Association thanks KKCR for its continued support of our ocean safety mission. Mahalo to the residents of Kauai who make many rescues and interventions at our beaches without recognition or reward.
Ganesha Body Piercing, Kauai's home for safe, clean body piercing and custom jewelry, now in the Dragon Building, 808-212-8017.
Go Farm Hawaii, a farmer training program cultivating the next generation of farmers. GoFarmHawaii.org.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. Marshall and Felicia with Kauai Soapbox and with Kuhan Pak. And again, if you want to call in, 826-7774 to donate now. I haven't gotten my first caller, so thank you, call in. And we got great people out there waiting to take your calls. Kuhan.
Felicia.
Hi.
Hi there.
So you were on the show on the phone maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and you said you were coming, so I invited you to come in because you have, as long as I've known you, had quite a bit of focus on militarization of peace, I mean, of the Pacific, or peace in the Pacific, if we want to put it in the positive framework. You've brought some amazing primary source people into the station, and we've been able to talk to them on the radio. You've done a lot of really good work, and I want to be able to hear from you on all these aspects that you're looking at, but you know, I know that we are hearing a lot about Korea. I've seen even both Tulsi and Maisie, we've done live remotes with both of them, and both of them have been bringing up Korea. And for most people, the Korean War is almost never taught in schools. You run out of time. You know, I usually run out before World War I every year that I've been in school. They always start at the beginning. So I think for many people that are like grown adults anyway, MASH is probably one of the most familiar awarenesses of the Korean War. And I think for people younger, a lot of younger people, they don't even know anything about it. So can you tell us just a little bit of the background?
Sure.
Before we go into the major piece, so in case somebody needs to learn a little bit.
Absolutely. I think it's so important because even the people that know only MASH don't know anything because, well, let me explain my background.
Okay.
And I feel like somehow this moment, being on your show at this time, as they're proposing to put missiles on Kauai because Korea, North Korea, is so threatening, combined with my entire life's background, somehow it's all converging in a point at this moment. And thank goodness KKCR exists so that voices like mine can get out, because as I hope to discuss later on in the program, there's so much misinformation. What does come out about North Korea? I was born in Los Angeles in 1961. And I lived there until, we visited Korea, Seoul, where my grandmother lived. My father was born in Korea. He was a refugee of the Korean War. He came to L.A. and had kind of a Horatio Alger story of picking grapes and pumping gas. And someone was so impressed, they put him through law school. He became the first Korean-American attorney in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, which was more of a just luck because he happened to be in the right place at the right time. It was hard for Koreans to get into the United States at that time because the Civil Rights Act, which then led to the following year of the Immigration Act, which said that you could not discriminate based on race for immigrants coming in. So that's kind of, we're hearing echoes of this now in today's politics. That had not yet been passed, so it was really hard for somebody of color to get into the United States. Well, in any case, we visited Korea in 1965, and then we moved there in 1968, and it was really interesting because the USS Pueblo, do you know what that is?
No.
That was a very...
It sounds like a boat.
It was. It was an American ship, a military ship that had been spying on North Korea.
Oh.
The North Koreans captured these men, and they were prisoners of war. And it was a big, big geopolitical deal. And so growing up in South Korea at that time, And South Korea has always been a client state of the U.S. So, of course, we were on the U.S. side. And it was, we grew up fearing to death North Korea. And as little kids, you know, you tell ghost stories. And our ghost stories were talking about crossing the Bridge of No Return, which was this bridge at Panmunjom at the border.
Which is the demilitarized
zone. Right, the DMZ. And so it was really deeply embedded in all of us, all the Korean children and the American children, of course. So were you going to ask a question?
Well, I wanted a point of clarification because you said that Korea has always been a client state, and
South Korea,
but I mean South and North Korea haven't been separated that long, and always isn't that long. Like World War II ended, and then the Koreas were split.
I'll go into that in a moment. Let me just continue talking about how my background positions me to have come to a point where I really know a lot about this subject by no planning of my own. We moved to Guam after that, because Korea at that time was the second poorest nation in the world. It was poorer than even North Korea. South Korea was poorer. There was, we were the only home on our street that was not a shanty made of just pieces of plywood stuck together. We were the only home that had plumbing. If you went out into the street, of course, the streets were not paved. The potholes were 2 feet deep. In the winter, it froze. The streets froze. There were no cars. It was a grim living hell, and it was really hard to take after having left L.A. and Malibu in the 60s and then landing in this war-torn. It had never recovered from the Korean War. So my mother complained a lot, and my father finally conceded, and we moved to Guam because, for the same reason the military is in Guam, and that is it is the closest island to Asia. That's a U.S. territory. So he could still practice law, but then we could take trips to Australia or Japan, Korea, Singapore, Philippines, whatever. It's kind of a neat place. But there was very interesting, too, because it was during the Vietnam War, and that was the launching site for the Vietnam War. So what was interesting is you may have heard of the secret bombings of Cambodia. That took place between 1968 and 1972. So the way we experienced that, you know, the Americans were told, and we knew this because the CBS Evening News film would arrive on the freighter 2 weeks late. So we would get the news 2 weeks late on our TV of Dan Rather talking about, or Walter Cronkite talking about how, with Nixon saying, there's no more bombing in Indochina. But then why are the B-52s going overhead? Because we're in Guam, right? So we knew something was up. So this is what it's like to live on the edge or outside or the edge of empire, right? So that was like an early memory that I just didn't think anything about. I'm like 11 years old. I just tucked it away. And finally, I went back to the States, I went to college, I went to USC, and at that time I met the man who became my first husband. And he, in the mid-80s, I didn't know this, he was getting his graduate degree in computer science at Carnegie Mellon, and I didn't know that the reason why we lived so lavishly was because he was living on Star Wars Defense Initiative money, Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars. That was billions of dollars that Reagan put into launching a missile defense program for the United States. And so that was very interesting because I saw a lot of the people who design these missiles and this technology. He did a lot of drone design in the mid-80s. And basically, if you could imagine how much Star Wars money actually went to buying marijuana and cocaine and LSD and Grateful Dead tickets, you'd be shocked.
Really?
Yes, because that's all we did was And we had a house in Malibu overlooking Madonna's house, and sometimes you could see Sean Penn on the roof shooting off a gun, and Johnny Carson. That's who we looked, that's how much money we were getting in Star Wars stipend money as he got his PhD in computer science, doing military. Computer science is basically a nice word for military research and development. So through these stages of my life, I saw these peripheral aspects of military. And now at the age of 56, I lived here for 20 years, and I love Kauai very much, and I love Hawaii very much because it is the Pico, and the military recognizes it's the Pico, and that's why we have Pacific Command here.
And for people who don't know that word, is the belly button or the center point?
Right, of Pico. The planet.
Of the planet, the Pico,
right. So the native Hawaiians recognize it because, of course, they were seafaring throughout the Pacific, and the strategic tacticians of the military recognize it, so they've put all the firepower, probably the most in the world is right coming out of Pearl Harbor, Schofield Barracks, Pohakuloa, PMRF, and now they want to do more. When I think about my life and this, the positioning of all this geographically and as well as in time, I feel like empire, the nature of empire is such that it's like the nation is encircled with a two-way mirror. And I grew up much of my life, but not all, on the outside where I could look in and see very clearly what was happening in the U.S., but when you're inside, all you see is yourself, right? You don't see what you're doing outside unless you're close to the edge of the two-way mirror, like in Hawaii. You know, you get up close to a two-way mirror and you see those hazy shadows. And I think that's why people here in Hawaii are interested in what's going on more than somebody in New York or Wisconsin. They're interested in what's going on in the Asia Pacific and the pivotal role that peace in Korea plays, because the Pentagon and all of the defense contractors depend on strife in Korea to make billions and billions of dollars in profit putting these missiles all over the place. So
it's kind of manufacturing consent at some level.
Very much so. And I can go into that.
And they just installed new defensive missiles in South Korea, correct?
Well, that's very interesting because today they just elected a new president who is, if he hasn't said outright, he's opposed to the installation of the THAAD system, missile system, which stands for Terminal High Altitude something. I do believe he would be against it because he has been very vocal about being in favor of diplomacy and negotiation and talks with North Korea.
And his name is Moon Jae-in?
Yes, Moon Jae-in.
Well, you know, but the news the other day was that, I don't know if they installed all of them, but that the THAAD systems were being installed in a rush.
Yes.
Prior to the election for
right.
fear that he would win.
Right, because they knew that he was by far the most popular. I think he won by 70%. I think
and
he got
there was
70%
of the vote. Five people running.
Well, there were three. I don't know if there were five, but there were three people that I had heard of, and two were fairly popular. But he was going to win by a long shot. Everybody just felt confident, and you see, his the woman that got impeached, her name is Park Geun-hye.
Which is the last president she was impeached.
Yes, and she was the daughter of the president when I lived in Korea. Mm. And he was famously called a dictator. His name was Park Chung-hee. And he was assassinated, as was his wife.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were very disliked because, well, it was a mixed... people feel mixed about it because on the one hand, he shepherded in a very successful economy. But the price of that was he made a deal with the U.S. U.S. corporations said, listen, do trade with us. We'll give you all the money you need in the world. But your end of the deal is you've got to put down any labor movements and you've got to put down any environmental movements so that you can get your economy rocking. So what he did was he picked several families, and those are Samsung, the family that owns LG, Daewoo, Hyundai, and those families sort of shepherded in this economy. In fact, I think Samsung's profits account for like 40% of the gross national product of South Korea or something ridiculous like that. But in any case, Moon Jae-in is awesome. Everybody loves him. And I think the reason he got elected without that election having been tampered with, because Korea is so critical to the profits of the defense industry, is that when Trump got elected in the middle of the impeachment of Park Geun-hye, the last female president, I think that the intelligence community was so in a fluster and flurry dealing with Trump and how do we, and even today with Comey getting fired, that they just had to let that slip, because that is unheard of for a president that is this progressive to get elected. In fact, it is widely suspected that Park Geun-hye's election was totally rigged.
Wow.
Anyway.
So say the name of the new president again.
Moon Jae-in. It's M-O-O-N and then Jae-in. J-A-E hyphen I-N.
Okay. Yeah, he's Moon Jae-in.
Good story, right? And New York Times did a story on him.
Yes, and I thought it was very slanted. Okay. I saw that story because they start off talking about how under George W. Bush, Bush was going to get Kim Jong-il, who's the father of Kim Jong-un, the current...
From North Korea.
From North Korea. Bush was going to get him to freeze the nuclear program, and then this guy ruined it. The president of South Korea ruined it because his advisor, Moon Jae-in, the current president, decided that it would be best not to put down hard sanctions and actually to have diplomacy and talks with North Korea. Now, progressive people in North Korea think it's always best to have talks first and not harsh sanctions, because it's the people who suffer. The officials can always get what they need because it's a corrupt government, but it's the people who suffer. And you know, progressives believe diplomacy is the best solution.
So if we sort of pan out a little bit and look at this, what... If North Korea is open to diplomacy, and there are factions in, or now at least maybe the majority of the population in South Korea would like to pursue diplomacy, what kind of negotiations could take place there that haven't been tried already?
Okay. There could be negotiations that take place that actually have been tried and were successful, but the U.S. pulled out. And I'll give you an example. Let's go back to Felicia's question talking about just the history of how do we get to this place. So in 1945, the 38th parallel was arbitrarily placed right after World War II, was placed across Korea.
So World War II is over in like 1945,
right?
46.
45. And so that's when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, ended the war. Now keep in mind, my father grew up under Japanese rule. It was extremely...
In Korea.
Yeah, very cruel and brutal. In the beginning, as it went on, Koreans became Japanese identified, and we had to take the name, or he took a Japanese name, Shiragawa, yeah, and which means white gate, and pak in Korean means white, and it was a lot kind of, there are a lot of parallels I see between the U.S. occupation of Hawaii and the Japanese occupation of Korea, except in the beginning there was a lot of bloodshed, there was a lot of samurai swords cutting people's heads off, and they were very widely hated and very resented. So, at the end of World War II, when Japan was defeated, the Koreans were ecstatic. What they didn't expect was that the U.S. was going to create a Cold War atmosphere with Russia. That was why the bombs had to be dropped on Hiroshima, to show Russia that we had the bomb. Because actually Japan had offered 6 or 8 months earlier to end the war, yeah, and they were going to surrender. So another way of showing our force and showing
our, meaning the United States.
The United States was... was to show a lot of firepower in the Korean War. But anyway, so they... So this arbitrary line was created, and they divided it like a piece of pie. Russia would get the top half of Korea, and the U.S. would get the bottom half. And what happened was all of those pro-independence people moved to the north because the United States had put all of the Japanese collaborators in power as the dictator.
Of
South Korea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Park Geun-hye's father, Park Chung-hee, right, who made the deal with the American capitalists, was actually, he went to Japanese college. He was a Japanese-identified collaborator with this very hated occupying force. So a lot of people just said, we're out of here. They weren't thinking, oh, I'm communist, I'm anti-American. They were anti-Japanese. And that's how the war started, right? So then when people say, oh, North Korea started the Korean War by going down and invading, well, they wanted to unify the peninsula as a sovereign, unified nation. Nobody, South or North, ever wanted this divided nation. And it became a proxy war between capitalism and communism. In 1953, finally, an armistice was signed. I have a list.
Means peace. Armistice means peace, I believe, in French.
Well, it's what might precede a peace treaty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, because paix means peace.
Okay.
And in French, and pax in Latin, right?
Okay.
And my name is Pac, right?
Yeah.
So, but in any case, it wasn't a peace treaty.
Okay.
It precedes a peace treaty.
Okay.
And there was a deal written into the armistice in 1953 that within 90 days, three things had to happen. Number one, a meeting would have to take place that would lead to the permanent resolution and ending of the war, such as a peace treaty. Number two, you had to both China, there had to be a withdrawal of all foreign troops. That means China had to leave and the United States had to leave. And, it was those two. Those are two key requirements.
Wonderful giving us a piece of that history, and we'll come back to it. I want to really honor our wave riders and also any of our donors. We're going to learn a little bit about the grand prize that people can get. Anybody who calls into 826-7774 or goes to kkcr.org and donates gets to be a part of this drawing for our grand prize, and we're going to hear from other wave riders that allow good programming like this to continue. So please give us a call. Thank you for listening, and you have time in this break to give us a call, 826-7774.
Everyone who donates to KKCR during our spring fund drive from April 27th to May 11th will be entered into a drawing for a chance to win a one-week complimentary stay in a luxurious two-bedroom, two-bath unit at Wyndham Kaeokai Resort in Princeville. This is a $2,000 value. Make your donation today for a chance to win. Mahalo nui to Wyndham Kaeokai Resort for their generous support of Kauai Community Radio.
Imua Coffee Roasters, roasting global coffees in-store. Full espresso bar located in Wailua's Islander Beach Resort, 821-1717.
Ono Pops, Hawaiian frozen all-natural pops. Handmade in Hanamaulu from Kauai farm ingredients. Ono Pops, local, Ono, and Pono.
Anahola Granola, spreading aloha for 30 years with island-made non-GMO granola and bars. AnaholaGranola.com.
Island Fish Prince, specializing in gyotaku at the Hanalei Farmers Market Saturdays 9:30 to noon. More info at 634-3420 or islandfishprince@gmail.com.
Holo Holo Charters, vessels proudly made on Kauai for Kauai waters. Holo Holo Kauai Boat Tours.com.
Kauai Marine and Mower, supporting community radio on Kauai for 20 years. Thank you, KKCR.
Oasis on the Beach, oceanfront dining in Kapa'a. Open daily from 12 noon. Reservations at 822-9332 or online at oasiskauai.com.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle with the County Recycling Office. Call 241-4841 or visit their website at kauai.gov/recycling.
16th Annual Heva e Kauai Tahitian Dance and Drumming Competition, August 5th and 6th, Kapa'a Beach Park. Applications at hevaekauai.com.
Ching Yong Village in the heart of Hanalei supports Kauai Community Radio.
Fresh Bite Food Truck in Hanalei serves local, organic, farm-to-beach lunches Thursday through Monday, 11 to 4. More details at freshbitekauai.com.
Kauai Worms offers the richest natural fertilizer on earth. KauaiWorms.com for all your vermiculture needs.
The Warehouse Imports and Liquidations, located in Kapa'a, 5633 Kawaihao Road. Furniture and appliances, thewarehousekauai.com or 639-3246.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
Mahalo!
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Mahalo wave riders and mahalo for people calling in at 826-7774. So, Kuhan Peck, I'm so happy to have you joining us here in the studio and sharing some of the context behind your, I don't know, as long as I've known you, decades of effort for peace in the Pacific, probably peace in the world, but your focus is the Pacific. So you've been sharing with us about your childhood of growing up in the different places, Guam and Korea, and your family background, and even looking at being married to the mob. No, I'm kidding. Married to people in the defense industry, the well-funded defense industry. And so then we had moved on to be speaking about the more current politics and what's going on. So please continue with your
story.
I
apologize for being convoluted, but the point I was trying to make was that when this when this armistice was made, there were conditions that there could be no more foreign troops, as well as that the meeting had to lead to some kind of resolution. And as we know, no resolution has been led to, and this was in 1953, and the troops never left. The Chinese did remove their troops, but the United States Armed Forces are there to the tune of, gosh, it must be...
like 70,000, something
like
that?
Yeah, it's huge.
I was looking at the numbers.
Right, and so you can see how, you know, that was the first instance where the United States did not keep their side of the bargain. So what happened instead was the U.S. started stockpiling hundreds of nuclear weapons in South Korea. Hundreds over three decades. Then finally, with the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fall of the Soviet Union, North Korea found itself no longer protected by the Soviet Union. In the meantime, there are hundreds of nuclear weapons in South Korea, and that was when they started building their nuclear program.
I see, and I want to correct my numbers I just said. I'm looking 28,500 in South Korea, 54,000 troops in Japan,
right.
Mostly Okinawa.
Right.
And okay, there are 28,500.
Right. And over 100 bases in South Korea,
yeah.
Which is the size of Indiana, although now they're building a mega base, which will enable them to consolidate bases, so they will only have, instead of 100 and some odd bases, they'll have about 50. But this mega base is going to be over twice the size of Princeville. I looked it up. It's going to be 5.5 square miles, and it's going to be basically like Princeville. It's going to have a rec center. It's going to have sidewalks. It's going to recreate a nice upper-middle-class community in the middle of farmland that was seized from Korean farmers. Mm. And this is called Pyeongtaek. This is the THAAD missile system that's being deployed that you mentioned, Marshall.
Is it in the north of South Korea?
No, it's in the it's south of Seoul.
Okay.
Yeah, and Pyeongtaek is between Seoul and the THAAD deployment area. The thing that's upsetting the Korean people is that they're being told this is to protect you against North Korea, but the THAAD is for high altitude. Anything coming from North Korea would be lower mid altitude.
It stands for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense.
Yeah, it's actually to defend the huge Pyeongtaek base from China. China does not like the fact it's mega base, as well as a missile defense system that is aimed toward their missiles is going in. So what these missiles are doing, this that's being deployed right now in South Korea, is really upsetting regional stability because of how it's provoking China. Getting back to history as to what happened, so when North Korea started building its nuclear program with the fall of the Soviets, that was when Bill Clinton dove in to nip this thing in the bud. And he actually did make an agreement where Kim Jong-il froze his nuclear program.
In North Korea.
Yes, in North Korea. And they signed an agreement that neither country would bear hostile intent toward the other. Okay? Now, that was in 1994. It was going along fine until George Bush got into office. Okay, but before I talk about George Bush getting into office, here's something that blew my mind that I learned in the last couple of days. In 1998, which is 4 years after they signed the deal with Kim Jong-il, and then they froze the program, Congress formed something called the Commission to assess the ballistic missile threat to the U.S. This later became known as the Rumsfeld Commission. It was in the Rumsfeld Commission, of which Paul Wolfowitz was also a member, as well as Donald Rumsfeld, that certain ideas became formed, such as the idea that the axis of evil was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. Lockheed and other defense companies were consulted to create the conclusion that this commission came to. And the conclusion was that the U.S. until that time had gravely underestimated the threat of nuclear attack. And so once Bush got into office, Donald Rumsfeld, who led this commission, became Secretary of Defense. Paul Wolfowitz, his buddy, became Deputy Secretary of Defense. And here's the thing that's so freaky. Okay, Bush got elected in 2000. That was also the year that Rumsfeld sat on a board of a Swiss company called ABB, based in Zurich, that sold nuclear reactors to North Korea.
Mm. Wow, really?
Yes.
That's odd. You're sure?
Yes.
Okay.
You can Google it. Nuclear reactors, Donald Rumsfeld, North Korea, Swiss corporation, ABB.
I like to sometimes, because that's very compelling.
Tell me about it.
So I want to make sure that that's accurate.
It is accurate.
And so I'm having him look it up.
Good.
Okay.
Is that a shocker? So
that is, because even like as we started off like talking about Russia and Trump or whatever, that to me seems like a pretty grave conflict of interest. You don't like arm both sides. Obviously, we did that in the Iran-Contra scandal and the Iran-Iraq war. But are you suggesting that we did that with both North and South Korea?
Am I stating that we did that with North and South Korea? But here's the man who says that the U.S. is gravely underestimating the threat of missiles coming from North Korea, and out of the other side of his mouth, he sells North Korea nuclear reactors.
That
Donald Rumsfeld
to create the yellow cake to be able to, you know, that's what you
right,
get out
the plutonium.
You can't do it without having the plutonium
processing.
Donald Rumsfeld in 2000 was the non-executive director of ABB, a European engineering giant based in Zurich, when it won a $200 million contract to provide the design and key components for the reactors.
Well, and then
in 2002, he declared North Korea a terrorist state, part of the axis of evil, and a target for regime change.
Wow, that is pretty heavy. We're at the top of the hour. I'm going to let the listener contemplate that.
The listener contemplate how you're not going to hear this anywhere else except KKCR, and we have to support real news. So please call
that's
in.
That's kind of a mind blower, because I hadn't ever... Actually, that's a piece in the puzzle that I have never heard before.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I just found that in The Guardian. So,
well, The Guardian, that's the English paper. That's a pretty good paper.
Yeah, I could find it in the U.S. press. I'd never heard that before.
See,
I did not know that, but to be fair, KKCR is not the only place that has ever put that out.
Right.
Well, donate to The Guardian as well.
Yeah, right. Donate to all the, except that we are the nonprofit community radio station that brings you this stuff you never heard before.
Yeah, and in this next probably 20 minutes, we're going to tie this to Kauai. And I want to be looking at, you know, Hawaiian news and what we're hearing here and why we're hearing it, you know, in Hawaii, what's being told to us. And then if we have time, I did a clip of Maisie Hirano's answer to John Lettman's question. John Lettman is another person on this island who really has a strong focus on peace in the Pacific. So you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you, and Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Second Skins. And Kuhan Peck is in the studio with us.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Second Skin Organics Hawaiian Mosquito Shield. Safe and effective. Protecting you and your ohana since 2001. Kauai grown, GMO free, sustainable organic agriculture based solutions. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono. More information on their global mission and vision for Hawaii at secondskinorganics.com.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. Please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you. Your support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Yes, Amy's right. It makes a difference. Please call us, 826-7774. We've got people waiting out there, and Kuhan, you've just been really excellent. So that was kind of a little mind-blowing to me. I don't know why I should expect that, but I didn't really realize
It's an example of how endemic the complete absence of knowledge about North Korea is, because when you think of North Korea, you just think of this fat guy with a bad haircut. It's someone to make fun of. And this is the way this is the way the most egregious behavior of our government gets slipped right through us. You know, it feeds on our racism, basically. But what I was going to say is, okay, Bush is in office. We've got a Secretary of Defense, a guy that sold nuclear reactors to North Korea. Now he comes out and he has Bush call on his first State of the Union address. He calls North Korea one of the axis of evil. He institutes war games on the DMZ at the border just beyond
demilitarized zone.
Right, the 38th parallel, which is a very provocative act, right? Suddenly there's war games going on. Okay, at this point, this is when North Korea says, you know what, forget it. We're not going to keep the freeze on our nuclear program that had been going on since 1994. It's now 2000. Not only does Bush and Rumsfeld do that, but he also arranges to strip oversight of costs and performance of all missile tests in the missile defense program, so that members of Congress have no idea how much it's costing or how accurate these missiles are. I mean, how shocking is that? And a lot of the material in the test results becomes classified material. So these senators that are telling us that, oh no, there's an imminent and clear dangerous threat, they have no idea, because back in between 2002 and 2004, all of the oversight got removed. And this is in an article out of a website called, a group out of Washington, D.C., called Nuclear Threat International. And its members are government officials, heads of corporation. I know Jerry Brown is a member. This is a very mainstream, stodgy group of people that was unhappy about this transparency just evaporating on something as consequential as nuclear war. So, oh, another thing that happened in 2002, all this happened in 2002 right after 9/11. They really seized the moment because people were saying yes to anything that had to do with war. A group called the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance formed by Ricky Ellison.
And that name's familiar to me, but I can't remember
who it was. He was a former linebacker
The
49ers.
Okay, and I'm not a football guy.
Yeah, girl. I'm not either. And strangely enough, we went to USC at the same time. And he played with the 49ers when I lived in San Francisco. So I've always heard that name. And now to see his name coming into my life again as the big cheerleader for missile defense is really nauseating. In fact, I believe maybe you have queued up an advertisement, or actually a spot out of Honolulu Television where he was visiting the islands about a week ago.
Well, I'm going to get that queued up, and then we can use that moment to acknowledge our next set of wave riders. And please, I would just, we are almost at our goal of $70,000 for this fund drive. We are just a little bit over $2,000 away from hitting it, and you could call in and you can just make that difference right now. We need some angel pledges. We need some donors. It is really important for people to do that, and I want to acknowledge that we did just get a donor, and when I hear on that, I'm going to mahalo you by name. But right now I want to mahalo these wave riders.
Alec Ahana, your Kauai Edward Jones financial advisor at Hanamaolu Branch. Additional information at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SPIC.
Andy Sarahanis, eclectic farmer, herstorian. Available for consultations and presentations in agri-culinary alchemy and place-wedded goddess-empowered authentic culture. 828-2039.
European thermography. Holistic breast screening and full-body health evaluation. Safe, effective, non-invasive. Thermographyhawaii.com. 652-8752.
Plenty Pupuli Kayaks. New location in Kapa'a has all your kayaking and kayak fishing needs. 808-245-5005. PlentyPupuli.com.
Harvest Market Hanalei, your natural food source, invites you to share the love with KKCR.
Java Kai, in the heart of old Kapa'a town. Breakfast, lunch, and desserts. Beans roasted in shop. 823-6887. JavaKai.com.
The Local Kauai, a brand new restaurant and bar located in Kapa'a. Locally sourced ingredients, fresh squeezed cocktails. 808-431-4926. TheLocalKauai.com.
Waves Yoga, a new yoga studio opening May 15th in Princeville Center. Meditation, yoga, and infrared sauna treatments. 652-6582. WavesYogaKauai.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, located on Kauai at the St. Regis Princeville, Kukui'ula in Poipu, and Wailea Maui, expandingvisualreality.com.
Kauai Canvas, custom fine art gallery, quality canvas, G clay, and specially paper prints and image capture. KauaiCanvas.com.
The BRAD Foundation, supporting Kauai and its youth through monthly beach cleanups and outdoor youth programs. www.b-radfoundation.org. 651-3970.
North Shore Plumbing Service, serving Kauai's North Shore. 828-1221.
Swell Chiropractic, Dr. Ryan Majerus, helping you to stay healthy and active. Now open in Hanalei and Kapa'a, 631-2508.
Kauai-grown produce featuring sweet onions, lychee, and Kauai chai teas at the Saturday market at Kilauea Mini Golf. Olana Organic Farm supports KKCR.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Yep. And who has supported this show last week, especially Marcia, Joan, Julia, Alan, Paul, Felicia, Marge, Lauren, Patrick, and Sandy. So, tell us a little bit of context about this KITV ad, and then what happened right there, and then...
And that's on your Facebook page right now, Felicia.
Okay.
Well, it's not really an ad so much as it's presenting
itself.
I
mean, news story.
Yeah, it's presenting itself.
I said ad because it is basically selling fear.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. And I'm bringing this on because I think it's such a perfect, it's like a cliche example of the kind of fear mongering that has been so successful about North Korea for as long as we can all remember. So this was on not KITV, but Hawaii News Now.
Over whether North Korea would ever target Hawaii, but most experts agree they do have the capability. The head of a national missile advocacy group says Hawaii needs to be ready just in case. Jim Mendoza has that story. New at 6, Jim.
Shocking. His name is Ricky.
Kind of reloaded itself. So,
shall we wait for it to reload and I can just
you can tell
say a few thoughts? Well, I wanted to get back to something that Marshall was asking. He's like, well, what do we do? How do we deal with North Korea? Well, given like the whole history that I've just laid out, I think it's pretty obvious that what we do is remove nukes from South Korea. We remove the preemptive strike policy that has been in place ever since 1953, with the exception of the freeze that Clinton had North Korea put on its nuclear program. We stop military exercises across the DMZ, which is another provocative, threatening thing.
The demilitarized zone.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we replace the armistice with a real-life peace treaty, like was promised way back in 1953, and we demand that North Korea freeze their nuclear program. And they have already said that they would freeze their nuclear program if we agreed to those conditions.
Okay, I can play it. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Guy Ellison, he heads the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance. He has been pushing Congress for greater missile defense capabilities since George W. Bush's administration. And he says the U.S. government can easily operationalize the missile test range at Barking Sands.
Assuming it has the capability, a North Korea missile aimed at Hawaii would have to be stopped by interceptors fired from Alaska or California. Missile defense advocate Ricky Ellison doesn't like the odds.
You have a very tight window because you don't have an opportunity to see if you hit it and then fire again. That's done. And you've got the rest of the United States that has to be protected.
Ellison believes the Pentagon should equip the Pacific Missile Range on Kauai with Aegis Ashore interceptor missiles. He says the range already has some of the hardware.
You can fly in your missiles. You already have a launcher that can hold 8. You can fly those in 24 hours. You can turn this thing on. It's unbelievable why we're not doing this.
Hawaii Representative Colleen Hanabusa is open to the idea, but says turning PMRF into a missile base might detract from its mission.
Having visited PMRF recently and spoken to the captain there, I believe that the sense is that PMRF's significance and importance is really in its ability to do the testing.
We've got to take action to make sure that we have a missile defense system in place in Hawaii to defend Hawaii. Given the threat that we're facing, there's no time to waste.
If the opposition fired Y plus one.
Admiral Harry Harris says Hawaii needs interceptor missiles in the future. Ellison says the sooner the better.
We all want to have confidence that we're not the number one target on the North Korean list, which we are today.
Ellison believes if the Kauai missile range became a missile intercept launch site, it would be a deterrent to North Korea's threats.
Mr. Ellison is here to meet with military leaders and state lawmakers to urge them to petition Congress to equip the missile test range with intercept missiles. Jim Mendoza, Hawaii News Now.
Well, I don't like hearing that. It's like, it's a sales pitch. Even the voice tonation, and then they get the football hero, and
It's like you're buying a tractor.
But so what is wrong in that? What do they have wrong?
Well, there's just so much wrong. First off, they are talking about putting the Aegis ashore, deploying that now. That is the Aegis ashore range. It hits at a 150-mile altitude. Okay, anything coming from North Korea is an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. And it would have to hit at about a 750-mile altitude. So it's inappropriate. Also, the Aegis is set for an intermediate-range ballistic missile, not an ICBM, which goes a maximum of 3,400 miles.
So they're proposing putting the wrong kind of missile defense system in to defend against a North Korean attack.
But because we're so cowed into believing North Korea is this boogeyman that we must do anything and all and trust our government to kill, we're just letting them do anything they want. Because Rumsfeld and Bush have removed any oversight in Congress to look at what the tests are, what the costs are, everybody's running blind. The only thing we're running on is fear. North Korea is over 4,600 miles away. The Aegis ashore missiles is designed for missiles that go a maximum of 3,400 miles.
So don't we have any missiles that are designed to defend against the type of thing that North Korea might...
I think there's plenty of interceptor missiles Oahu.
Actually, if you listen to this report, the interceptor missiles come out of Fort Greely, Alaska. Well, they didn't say, but they come out of Alaska and California. There's 40 in Alaska, there's 4 in California. They have a 50% accuracy rate. In other words, a very low accuracy rate. Every test costs $200 million, every missile. They test over here at Barking Sands. If you notice... And also, one thing about the tests, they're very controlled. It's from a ship, right, that goes up, and then at Barking Sands, they've got another missile intercepting. They're not dealing with heat, with cold. They're not dealing with vibration. They're not dealing with things falling off. It's completely controlled, and they still have only a 50% accuracy rate. Okay, so we're not ready to... Would you buy a car if it was working only 50% of the time? Would you buy a computer if it was working over 50% of the time? We're talking about nuclear war here, you know? But the defense industry is pushing this so hard. They fund the supposed nonprofit, the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, that Ricky Ellison has founded.
Yes. And if I could just put in a little piece of information here, I always try and check. And I did email Vinny, our commander of Pacific Missile Range Facility, and I asked him, and he said, while there has been discussion about the Pacific Missile Range in the news recently, our current mission remains to provide world-class facilities to conduct training and testing for the U.S. and its allies. I mean, I think he's saying, you know...
Well, I think it's interesting, because if you listen to this news report, you'll see that Harry Harris, who's head of Pacific Command in Pearl Harbor, says we should put the missiles in Kauai in the future. You also hear Colleen Hanabusa, was it Hanabusa?
Yeah.
Say, I'm concerned. I think we don't want to really deploy offensive missiles or deploy active missiles. We should be concentrating on testing. I think this is their way of saying, hey, we know that the accuracy rate is so low, we are not ready to go online with these missiles.
So, well, okay, that's to me a jump, but I don't know. So last
it
time,
is a jump.
That's a jump. I mean, I don't necessarily go to A to B with you on that one, but I want to ask you. Last time when you called in, you talked about Rex Tillerson was going to speak the next day to the Senate or the House. Did you follow up with what happened with that?
Well, what it was a special quote-unquote emergency meeting, not just Rex Tillerson, but also Secretary of Defense Mattis, Trump, and 100 senators were all put on a bus, school field trip style, and taken to a venue where they were given a briefing on what the new policy was for how we were going to deal with North Korea. And The New York Times the next day reported that it was basically nothing had changed. But what I saw was a lot of people selling us on the need, the clear and present danger of North Korea and the need to put missiles in Hawaii, which tells me that there is a huge push to sell missiles that will be deployed from Kauai. It's a sales job.
So, yes, and actually when we're talking about a sales job, I'm just going to segue for a moment for people to call 826-7774. And I want to give my aloha out to Kathleen from Hanamaulu and to Mark. I'm not quite sure where Mark is from, but thank you so much for calling in. And we are so close to our total. It would be wonderful if we could get in another $1,000 today. So thank you. Call 826-7774 or www.kkcr.org and push that donate button. We really appreciate it. So, Kuhan Pak, I see that you are holding up the newspaper article that says a clear and present danger.
Yeah, that was from yesterday's Garden Island, and that was
after Maisie's...
Maisie Hirono spoke, and our friend John Lettman, the journalist, asked her about how she felt.
And I have that.
Oh, do you?
Would you like to hear whole interchange?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because what's interesting is the way the interchange took place, and then the way the Garden Island skewed it into demonizing North Korea when it had nothing to do with
the interchange. Okay, so why don't you read the part that is demonizing?
Well, the headline going blaring across the top, clear and present danger, and that had nothing to do with the question.
Okay, and this is what that's about. And just kind of being kind to the Garden Island, I know the reporter that was there, I don't know him well, but he's 22, he's brand new, so sometimes it's important to sit there and realize when people don't have enough context. So that's why I really appreciated your being able to give context of coming from a family, father from the area that's now North Korea, and growing up in that area for a portion of your time and really being able to see that. So here's John Lettman speaking to Maisie Hirono last Saturday.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Aloha, Senator Hirono, and welcome back to Kauai. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. You and other members of the Hawaii Congressional Delegation all pride yourselves on being champions for human rights and protecting the environment, and I appreciate your efforts. I'd like to ask you where you stand on your continued support for the expanding U.S. militarization of East Asia. Even as the United States continues to maintain 82,500 U.S. troops in South Korea, Okinawa, and Japan, we're expanding our own military footprint in what will be America's largest military base at Army Garrison Camp Humphreys in South Korea, while at the same time we force the construction of a new U.S. military base, Marine base, at Henoko in Okinawa, despite years of 24/7 protests and overwhelming local opposition. I'd like to also ask your thoughts on the United States' own responsibility when it comes to our own close allies who suffer human rights violations and environmental destruction because we're forcing the deployment of the THAAD missile defense system against the wishes of the Korean people and pushing Japan to bulldoze and cut down tropical forests for the U.S. Marine helipads while also dumping 2 million cubic meters of sand, dirt, rocks, and so forth on the coral reefs and sea grass beds of Oura Bay in Henoko, Okinawa. Please tell me if you think that the forced construction of new U.S. military bases, in addition to the more than 150 bases and facilities already in South Korea, Okinawa, and Japan, is consistent with U.S. stated values of protecting human rights and the environment. And then as a quick follow-up, the U.S. maintains about 587 military bases and installations in 40 countries around the world. My question is, how many foreign military bases or foreign troops do you think Americans would accept on U.S. soil?
Thank you. By the way, what is your name, sir?
My name is John Lettman. Nice to see you.
John, thank you.
As you probably know, I serve on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And national security issues loom large with the unrest in the Middle East, with what is happening with North Korea and their unrelenting desire to become a nuclear power and the threats that is posed thereby, China's expansion in the South China Seas and some of the other aggressive or provocative acts that they're taking, unrest in Africa. So these are times where we are very much challenged in terms of our own national security. However, we can't go it alone, and this is why other countries, especially in the Asia-Pacific area, they have come forward. You know, it's not as though we are forcing bases in these places. We are generally asked to come. One hopes that we are entering into a mutually beneficial agreement. And so I have visited, you know, Okinawa, and we would like to move those troops out of Futenma. And it is the Japanese government that picked Henoko as the place to go. And whether or not that is actually going to happen, I think everyone agrees that we should move the Marines out of Futenma because that is in the middle of Okinawa and it's a dangerous kind of situation. As for the THAAD in South Korea, that is something that the South Korean government and the people there, especially with the threat from North Korea and the saber rattling and everything else, that is another thing that it has been a mutually. You may disagree with me, but I serve on the committee, and I hope that I make decisions based on not warmongering or a desire to go to war anywhere, because military action is the last thing that we want to do. What we need to shore up is our ability to diplomatically resolve all of these conflicts and instability. And that's why when you have a President Trump who wants to cut the State Department by 30%, that is not the direction we need to go. We have a president who seems quite wedded to military might as a way to get our points across, and I do not agree with that. So there are a number of questions that I know you ask. I every day, practically, we are given information about the threats that are faced, not just by our country, but our allies. And therefore, with some tough decisions are made, and I take it that you don't agree with it, but I do my very best based on my desire to support diplomatic resolution of conflicts, not sending boots on the ground. On that, I am on your page. Thank you.
And then the follow-up, the 587 bases. The follow-up about how many foreign troops you think Americans would support on our country?
I think that I would not think that we would want to have foreign troops in our countries unless we thought that they were there to protect us. And basically that is the rationale for us being in these other countries, that they believe we are there to work with them, to protect them. If they can do more themselves, which is the direction that Japan is going, I think that that's what we should do. But again, military power, military might, military use is not the first action that we should be taking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Kuhan Pak is in the studio with me, and we are talking about largely Korea and the push to put, stronger militarization possibly on Kauai, certainly directed at South Korea. I want to thank our donors. We just got an online donation at kkcr.org. That is a really good way to go in and do that. So I'm really sending out my mahalos to Maria, who is a regular supporter of Kauai Community Radio. Thank you, regulars. And then if you've never donated, you know, now's a good time to do it at 826-7774. And people who make, we are at 2,050 left to go, so we could get there. And If you make an angel drawing, I mean an angel donation, which an angel pledge is $1 a day, so $365 for the year. I know on our last show we had two angel pledges. So I would love to get an angel pledge, and this is what happens if you're in the angel drawing.
Everyone who donates $365 or more to KKCR during our spring fund drive from April 27th to May 11th will be entered into a drawing for a chance to win a Malibu kayak 3.4 surfing kayak with seat and paddle line, donated by Plenty Pupule Kayaks. Mahalo nui to there. Plenty Pupule Kayaks. Plenty Pupule Kayaks, new location in Kapa'a, has all your kayaking and kayak fishing needs. 808-245-5005, plentypupule.com.
And mahalo for calling Kauai Community Radio. Are you there, Ray? Call right back. Just hang up and call right back, Ray. We'll take you. Yes.
Hey, Felicia. So, getting back to the subject of Korea, it might seem like it's distant and irrelevant to people here, but the thing that is so important is that this North Korea conflict is used as justification to put ospreys here, to put raptors here, to tear up reefs, to put missiles here, and not only here, but islands all over the Pacific. And that is why it is like an acupuncture point. And if we can bring peace to Korea, we'll get rid of all that military until they think of another boogeyman.
Well, I think we're in the middle of seven wars, right?
Well, we're in the middle of bombing seven countries, because one of them is... the Iran agreement that Obama made? Do you remember?
Yeah.
So that was an agreement that there wouldn't be a war, but actually we have bombed them. So maybe you can have a contest. Who can name all seven countries?
I probably could. All right, we got a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me?
I can. Hi, Ray.
Oh, yeah. Hi. This is for camera for Kuhan.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, how's it? Thanks for coming here and blessing us with your appearance on the radio show. But I was there when John asked Maisie about that. In fact, I want to let people know that John wrote a pretty good article that's in the...
Civil Beat.
Yeah, Civil Beat that came out yesterday. Yeah, you know, people don't already know that, dealing with the same subject of Korea. But I liked what you did by talking about the nuclear weapons that the South has. You know, and how the North was pummeled by the United States, and how Japan also was an occupier of Korea. So thank you for doing that. A lot of people.
Well, actually, I didn't mention how the North was pummeled, but yes, 20% of the population of North Korea was killed by the United States, and every building was that was over two stories was bombed, and there was not a single small village or town that was not bombed. More bombs and firepower and napalm was dropped on North Korea during that short Korean War than everything we dropped during World War II, except for the atom bombs.
And so, Ray, what was you were going to share something?
Yeah, the thing is that one of the biggest problems that we face is that our full congressional delegation, like a lot of the Democrats, they see that war is an answer for employment, yeah? Destruction of the environment, building of missiles, and, you know, building up military bases and engaging in endless war is a form of employment. And this is a problem that we face. You know, so do you have any idea of what we can do to turn some of this stuff around so that we can get information out there that can challenge this narrative that the answer for that world peace cannot happen through violence? It has to be done through negotiation and diplomacy, and that we don't have to create an economy based on war.
Well, I think we need to pressure our representatives and senators and congressmen to push to move manufacturing away from armaments and into products that will actually benefit humanity. And that's where the jobs should be, in jobs that make us flourish as a people and a planet and not kill other people.
Well, I think this whole discussion just sort of takes us to the jugular of what is going on in the world and the country, and that, you know, when we have trillions of dollars that we're spending on destroying things instead of creating things, I mean, we really would be solving a whole lot of issues if we weren't in these challenges. And one thing, you know, I just want to also again say something for KKCR. We are about creating awareness, creating change. And I think a lot of times, and I my guess is, Kuhan, that this is part of the point in spending so much time on this one particular topic of militarization in the Pacific, is that as the lights go on, awareness happens, and, you know, we don't have to buy into another war, another conflict. We don't have to do that, and the more that people are aware of it, the less... The harder it is for the government to sell it to us.
Right.
Well, you know, the reason why I asked this, you know about me already, Cameron. I am a labor activist, yeah.
Mm.
So I got to deal with the unions and others that are involved in the workers' movement who support war as a form of employment, you know. And I've constantly had to come up against this. And, you know, I take it on. I see it as my responsibility. You know, but the word has got to get out there. We have to do all kinds of education to let the public know that we can take care of ourselves without engaging in, you know, mass violence and destruction.
Right. Well, it's really difficult, you know, when the media puts out false narratives about and demonizes a country, whether it be North Korea, whether it be whatever, Syria, Russia, whoever, whatever, you know. And then people, we can only go on what we hear in the media. So it's also really important for people to really scrutinize and think, just to really look at their news sources. I mean, even the New York Times today, when they did that report on the new president, Moon Jae-in, I was extremely disappointed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
So, we got some pretty big tasks ahead, you know. And I'm going to try to do my best to educate working people how war is not the answer.
And I want to thank you, Ray. You're a part of Kauai Peace and Social Justice, Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice. Kuhan was mentioning that. Marge and Fred Dente also stalwart parts. Gerrymander part of Kauai Peace and Social Justice. And Sandy Herndon, many people. You guys bring some really amazing films and do all kinds of helpful elements, you know, that work on things. So thank you for your community service.
And I have to say, thank you, Ray. Ray, we met around Super Fairy Times. That's when KKCR got really engaged. And I think that was such a great example of how the community coming together at a real grassroots level with no outside organizations coming in. I mean, it really came up from us here on the ground, and we created lifelong friendships. Super Fairy, we would have never defeated that had it not been for KKCR and had it not been for shows like Felicia's. So why I'm just so honored to be on this show and talk about what I think could be the next. I mean, I would hate to think of missiles being shot off from Barking Sands. And I hate the thought that right now the Ospreys are practicing off of down there on the South Shore.
Ni'ihau and the West Side.
Salt Pond. And it's not, if it's all because of North Korea, let's deconstruct and demystify it.
Yeah, well, you know, for them it's a good form of making money. Yeah? The militarists, they benefit from the making of missiles and bombs and these kinds of things.
And from convincing people that's the only way to go.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the show, but thank you for being on. And
thank you so much, Ray.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, lots of good productivity that has happened on the show and different awarenesses. And in fact, like Fred Dente, who I believe is outside, so if he is listening to the radio, I want to even invite him in to just say, you know, a little, because he was also here from the very beginning. And many of the founders of the station, I mean, that this type of awareness is a big part of the mission statement of what Kauai Community Radio is about, along with, you know, helping the Hawaiian community be able to have their pieces. Okay.
Absolutely.
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
I want you to put the mic on for just a moment. Have you been listening to the radio?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any headphones. Oh, here I do.
Yeah, they are. So, yeah, so you have some headphones there. So, you were in Vietnam, is that right?
No, I was in the military during Vietnam. I was actually, I experienced a few days of combat in a riot in Newark, New Jersey, in the summer of love, 1967.
Okay.
In Newark, where a whole lot of people died. And it
really
was a horrible experience.
Really? Okay.
I can't even imagine.
You've told me that before, and I've forgotten that you were in a riot and people died in the riot.
Many, many people died, and the political leaders and the police, they all lied about how many people actually died, because I know for a fact that many more people died than what came out in the paper. They recorded, I think it was 26 people, but there were hundreds killed. I know that because friends of mine saw stacks of bodies piled up in armories all over Newark after that was over.
Why?
Why?
Yeah,
just,
why did
just
they
to,
die?
Just, well, because it was a really hot summer, real hot, sweaty summer, and people, the racism was rampant, and unemployment was really bad, and it was just, it was all the bad things about what's going on in a lot of cities today with racial hatred, and so the people actually the thing that triggered it all was a taxi driver was stopped by police and beaten up really badly right in front of a whole lot of people
wow.
in the street. Same kind of racial profiling thing that's been happening in cities across America for a long time. And it started a riot, and it spread to it was kind of like the Rodney King thing in Los Angeles in 60, well, what year that was? That was like 20 years ago, I think it was, or 25 years ago. So anyway, yeah, I was in the military during that time, and I still have PTSD from it.
Okay, I'm still lost. You were in the military containing the people who were rioting.
Yes, I was a National Guardsman.
Okay, all right.
And now I'm a political activist against, I'm a veteran for peace right now.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And so was the riot about the Vietnam War?
No, it was about oppression of a whole race of people, the black people. It was a steaming, the city was just, it was just a steaming cauldron of racism and police profiling and racism, you know, and it was happening while friends of mine were in San Francisco taking LSD in Golden Gate Park in the summer of love. I was there with a gun in my hands, and that turned my whole head around. I became a different person after that. But
well, there's a lot of hard things like that. I know I have a guest in my house, and one of his close friends in Florida, a 26-year-old person with a little bit of depression issues because his sister died, but was at a fundraising car wash on Saturday, and skinny white young man, vegan, yogi, shot by the police right there on the street. No effort to, so it's not always the same race. He gave a false name, and the officer thought he had a knife in his hand. It was his sunglasses. But, you know, those kind of things happen even across the races. It's no doubt harder if you are a more targeted race, but it was really at our house it was a big issue in the past couple of days because a lot of sadness going over that piece of injustice. And so social justice is a big part. Environmental justice, actually, environmental justice is social justice. A lot of times what happens that's very difficult is a piece of when the environment gets hurt, the indigenous people typically of wherever gets hurt or the poor gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
What reasons do you see for supporting KKCR? You've been a part of this since its inception.
Well, I believe we are a progressive voice for all the people of Kauai and Hawaii. And we were the first community radio station in the Hawaiian Islands. And that voice has to be loud and clear and strong in the world. And I actually am working on a campaign to update our mission statement so that we mention some of that progressivism in our mission statement, because programs like yourself, like yours, especially your program, are progressive programs and are talking about, you know, making it a better world and educating ourselves about what, you know, all the good things that are out there, and whether, you know, if it's worth trying to make it a better world instead of creating all these quote-unquote defensive missile systems all over the world and these military outposts of the empire, which is going into the darkness. We're going over the cliff. We're going into the abyss.
I just want to check in on that changing the mission statement for KKCR. That's really interesting. What's the process that would result in that happening?
Well, right now what we're doing is I'm part of a subcommittee with Jonathan Jay on the board of directors, and we're creating a questionnaire that we're going to put out to all the listeners, and we're going to put it on the airwaves, our newsletter, and also in the Garden Island, to ask the people in the community some questions about, you know, whether or not they want to change the mission statement and whether they like the mission statement as it is. And that'll be happening pretty soon. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much. So let's put a call out one more time to people to call in. We only have a couple $1,000 left. It'd be great if somebody by the end of the show calls that in at 826-7774, or any way that you can bring us closer to that mark, that would be wonderful. We might have a caller that wants to come on the air real quick, and then, Kuhan, I'm going to definitely give you a couple final thoughts before we go to Jazz with John at the top of the hour. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, so when you're starting to change a mission statement, you're becoming less of a community voice.
Well, the mission statement hasn't changed, but like you're saying, if it gets narrowed to something more progressive, is that your point? That then it wouldn't be as broad?
Well, I mean, I understand. You know, I try to always have an objective point of view towards anything that's going on. And Felicia, when you ran for office before, you know, I saw you at the county fair, and I'm like, wow, Felicia, this is great. And I started coming up, and I started talking to you, and like, hey, you know, this is what I have, some concerns. And somebody else walked up to you, and you shunned me.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Right in front of everybody. I was like, So
did I shun you, or did I get distracted? I'm distractible.
Well,
it might have felt like the same thing.
Again, it was probably the second night, and you were probably getting overworked or overwhelmed by everybody.
I definitely...
But that's when I started going, okay, well, again, if you shout out the loudest, that's whose voice is going to be heard. And that's probably what happened in our elections the last time.
Yeah, well, it's always,
I kind of felt like, boy, I was trying to really connect with you and just go, hey, you know, this is what I kind of see as a, you know, a concern for our community and stuff. And
I got distracted and felt like you were shunned.
It just, I guess my point of view is anybody who shouts the loudest is the one that's going to be heard.
It is. You know, it's a world for extroverts, for sure. And I am an extrovert.
Right. So
and
I'm not trying to bust your chops.
No, I don't mind at all.
I was just kind of like,
I'm totally fine with people calling me out. And do you have a pen? I'm going to give you my phone number, or you could go to FeliciaCowden.com and you'll see all my phone numbers and things like that. But it's 652-4363.
I'll catch up with you.
Yeah, catch up with me later, because I would, in just FeliciaCowden.com, you'll get my phone number, because I'm getting towards the end of the show, and...
Right, exactly. And, again, you know, the only reason why, real quick, shout out, too, is I think the only reason why people are starting to become more concerned about why Kauai is starting to become, or Hawaii is starting to become more militarized, is because every time we talk about North Korea, their missile ranges are becoming longer and longer.
Right.
You know, so the people that have you know, we've been comfortable in our environment, even in being Kauai, sheltered from the rest of the mainland of, you know, Cuba or whatever missile ranges were before, and I'm sure we've always been a target, but as we start to, again, they start to fulfill this, the freaky notion that we are, you know, that the other side of the soapbox of more of a threat that North Korea
right.
is to us.
And
that's why, again, we all know that's why they're fulfilling this dream of, like, spend more money on defense, spend more money on this.
And, right, right.
And in one sense, it's great for the island, I'm sure, because it's creating jobs.
Right, for the world. I don't mean to be shunning you again. I have somebody who has been holding almost this whole time.
I decided to give you a shout-out, so I don't mean to be the last guy to call in and create a... Like,
no worries. I don't mind at all. I don't mind at all if people call me out for something. I am completely happy with that. But I do have somebody else being on hold for a long time. I need to take that. And we're coming to the end of the show. So thank you so much. Look on my website, get my phone number and call me. And then I'll hear what you had to say. And I apologize.
Yeah, no, don't apologize. It's just, again, I really admire you guys. All of us for being a community radio station.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Aloha. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Catherine Music.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. I love your show, Felicia. I'm going to contribute, of course, today. And
thank you so much.
I wanted to thank Kuhan and also...
Hey, Katie.
Wonderful to hear Fred and Ray. I'm part of the same Kauai Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
The reason to call is the next film that we are... endorsing, which will be May 20th, and it's about the strangled sea in Okinawa. Mm. The activist who's coming is Kosuzu Abe. She's a social scientist at the University of the Ryukyus. She'll present that film, and I'm going to honor the wonders of Okinawa's beautiful ocean and forest that are being clobbered as I speak by the United States military. So after the film and my short presentation, we'll have a Q&A to discuss the militarization of Okinawa and Puerto Rico and Kauai and Korea.
So May 20th is what day of the month?
Saturday. May 20th at 7 p.m. at the Kealia Farm Market in Kapa'a.
In Kealia. And that was a really nice environment where we saw Afterburn.
Right.
Which was about Okinawa.
Is part of the same series. And so John Letman's article was just fantastic, and he's going to be meeting with Kosuzu, and I'm going to take her over to meet some of the people off the grid, like Juan Wilson,
mm-hmm.
on Thursday, and she'll be around Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So maybe
it'll be a great event.
Maybe check with Out of the Box and see if she can't come into the show on Thursday afternoon. So you said Saturday at 7?
Yes.
At Kealia Market.
Right.
Okay. So
thank you, and thank you, Kuhan, and happy birthday, Jerry.
Oh, is it Jerry's birthday?
Anyway, I love your show, and the name of this presentation is Peace, Beauty, and Agony.
Okay.
It's about the courageous Okinawan struggle against U.S. military destruction, but it's the same story as Kuhan, so...
Right, and I'm not even sure if people in Japan and Okinawa realize how North Korea is being used as the justification for the destruction. I've never heard that in any of their analyses, and it's something that
my Okinawan friends are fully aware of
okay.
that, but it's the same thing with the media. It may not come across in the media, but...
Right.
They feel like a target, and they are very scared because they're not nonchalant at all. They want the military away because it just makes them a target. North Korea can reach them faster than they can reach us in Hawaii.
Right.
You know?
Thank you so much, Katie.
Yes, you're welcome. No, my pleasure. And so Saturday, May 20th, and carry on, Kuhan.
All right, you too.
All right.
I want to mention that we had a listener call who just wanted to... They were from San Diego and wanted to say that they agreed with Raymond on how the warmongering is being generated by the money machine.
Yeah, I think that is pretty evident. So I want to play our last Wave Rider to thank them. Then we're going to thank you, Kuhan, and we're going to move to the County Council report. And then Jazz with John.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Felicia.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kuhan.
We'll be at John Lydgate's Celebration of Life.
Awesome.
At there.